All right. I personally like this part of the evening. I think that's why Joan lets me hang along here with her. She lets me hang out with her. Yeah. I think what's nice about this part of it, you get to try some of your art. And poetry is an art. Always has been. And I always say just some of the art you might like better than the other art, but it's still, it's all poetry. We have just one rule up here, and we kind of hope that everybody goes by it. We have, like, you can read two poems, 2.5 pages, but when you get beyond that, like 3, 4, 5 pages, it kind of messes everybody else up. And so if everybody would just kind of hang on, because Joan gets really angry and takes it out on me. Yeah. Stephen Chinetti. Come on, Stephen. All right, buddy.
Here, we'll give it a go. Let's see. Joan, thank you very much. Jimmy, thank you immensely. And everyone else. Hopefully, I'll be in the Squirrel Hill Poetry Society eventually. How many more years do I have? This poem's called Public School. It's here it goes. I could never tell whether a line is straight or not. Maybe a draughtsman can tell after years of scaling. Possibly a man with long arms able to scale a plateau. A machine would do, the numbers taking form in parenthetic algorithm. Where is its vision, Janus, its moral harm, humor. I shall lie down on this spot, Newton, tracing with the back of a hand, a red vertical on a blank wall. See every child of Goethe, go or not, tripping off one teaching, ill humor into seeing the end.
Thank you. All right, son. This is my girl, man. She is the coolest artist. The cool. She's way cooler than me. Santa, come on up here. Where you at? Z? Oh, there you are. Z, come on up here. Z.
There we go, huh? Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out for open mic. Thanks to Michael and Pittsburgh Poetry Exchange and everybody at Res. Great. So, hard to swallow. This poem starts with an epigraph. A thin girl under a thick sky, so thin each rib stood for something. By only Anna Cataic Davis. Dad's mood determined how much grocery money Mom got. We often went hungry. My younger sister ate like a bird. With 4 famished brothers, us girls never got much. When I behaved bad, Dad starved me. He made me beg for a bite. My sister refused to eat and became anorexic. She fussed. Food is hard to swallow. Runt in a big litter, she was lucky to survive. When we take my cyborg brother out to eat after Natalie Diaz, his scarred chest contains two battery packs that power his brain, steady his trembling. When his shirt is off, he looks like a robot. Even in cold weather, Jeff wears a hat and shorts. He says, the metal coils in my head get cold, but the rest of me sweats. He's a vet, airman wings tucked away, cut up head, bald as an eagle, disabled after getting nerve gassed in the Gulf War. He stayed awake through three brain surgeries. Before each operation, we said goodbye, just in case. Mom picks a place with plenty of room around the table, space for Jeff to stand. It's the only way he can eat. The railroad crossing's popular with local tourists, locals and tourists. It's named after the Kinzu Viaduct, destroyed by a tornado in 2003. They rebuilt what remained of the broken bridge. Now it's called a skywalk, even has handicap access. As kids, we ran the rusty rails across the half mile long, 300 feet high steel scaffold. We hopped huge gaps of fallen apart beams as the center swayed several inches from valley gusts. It was like walking on the wind. My family circles the railroad tie table until Jeff's wife, Carol, sits like an anchor next to my wobbling brother. She places their orders while I watch a stranger from a wall booth stare at our table. Jeff fidgets like C-3PO, short-circuiting, a mechanical jerk. His gears slip with every twitch. When a steak arrives, he pauses, looks at me, and smiles. I see my brother beneath the brain damage. Thank you.
John Stubb.
Can you hear me okay? I guess I have to have a hockey poem. It's that time of the year. This is entitled Variations, Calypso, and Fugue for Mario Lemieux. So where is the great Lemieux now? He shouted. An old man in a Flyers jersey on a Port Authority bus in the pit of winter, belongings in a bag, beard, dirty pants. Outbound from the city, trapped on Route 65. You know the routine, comrade. We pretend to work, they pretend to pay us. And every day in the gulag, the same. Still the man persisted. Where is the great Lemieux? He was drunk. It was dark outside. I had a vision of the frozen Ohio and his long stride, dam to dam on the ice. Stick in one hand like the sword of Achilles. Oh, beware, infidel. Beware the wrath of his skates. Beware the wrath of his shield. Beware the wrath of a Port Authority bus. And one more. New coveralls. The heart of a crow beats every second in the summer like a mandolin. I was thinking of this in 1969 while waiting in line for new coveralls with 100 other workers, paralyzed in urine and shit-stained underwear It was hot as the jungle Mekong in the changing room, surely, and humid, and without speech, and still without peace and love. But the foundry waits for no man. I knew that. So I hurried, I pushed, I shoved like the others. The dirty air from the engine lines was warm as a gas balloon and rose in the air over Lake Erie like a crow, its heart beating every second before the sacred throne of Henry Ford, who didn't pay us enough. Stripped and waiting for new coveralls we didn't deserve and for which we had no answer.